live from Las Vegas, Nevada at the KSHB studios. This is the Michelle Mortensen Show with your host, Michelle Mortensen, the fresh and fearless voice of talk radio, taking on the liberal media, the political hacks, and so much more. It's time to nix the narrative and get to the truth the way only Michelle can. Now, here's your host, the fresh, fiery, and factual voice of politics and news, 8-time Emmy winner, Michelle Mortensen.
Good Monday morning, everyone, and what a Monday it is. It seems like every Monday there was tons of breaking news, and we start this Monday with the news that there is now another COVID vaccine by Moderna soon to be on the market, this one 94% effective. This comes as we see far more lockdowns all over the country as COVID cases continue to skyrocket. We're close to 11 million now. In fact, I believe we've surpassed that right here in the good old US of A. Plus, we're seeing a huge backlash to freedom, constitutional freedoms, freedom of speech, and heck, whatever happened to that free, fair press that we all love so much? It is nowhere to be found. And this, the FBI announcing today that they have seen hate crimes grow to their highest level in more than a decade, according to the FBI. And you know what? I believe it, because take a look at some of the video that was taken this weekend at the MAGA march in Washington, D.C. Violence everywhere. Antifa chanting in the streets. You're going to pick it up right here where you're going to see someone throwing fireworks into a restaurant. Look at this. Fireworks into a restaurant right where all these people are eating. Completely insane. Look, people are beating this man, this older gentleman who was on his bike during the concert. This is ridiculousness. This is what is going on. These are hate crimes. Beating up an old man? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We have another video that I'm going to show you in a little bit of a family with two, three little kids, children in freaking D.C., and protesters throwing things at the children while they cry. It was a ridiculous behavior, especially when you consider that the entire march was very, very, very peaceful. It didn't get violent until the nighttime hours. It didn't get violent until Antifa showed up. And there's one person who knows this better than anyone, and that is Ricky Rebel. Many of you know Ricky Rebel from his music. Many of you remember him from the Grammys. He was one of the featured speakers at the MAGA march, and we're welcoming Ricky Rebel to the show right off the bat. Ricky, I've got to thank you so much for being here with us.
I'm so sorry.
You can't hear me?
Yeah.
Check and see if you're all right. I'm going to let you, we'll pull you off for a minute. I'm going to let Spencer and Lauren talk you through to make sure that you can hear. But it was absolutely ridiculous what we've seen over the MAGA march over the weekend. What we saw were people being attacked left and right. You saw people getting like sideswiped and sucker punched left and right. Why is this happening? And a bigger question I ask you is, why didn't the mainstream media cover one inch of it? Why didn't they cover 1 minute of it? How does that happen that they don't give it any coverage? Because the minute other groups, Black Lives Matter, whomever you want to point out, decided to burn cities down in Minneapolis because of police rights, because of the wanting to reform the police, man, the media covered the heck out of that. When there are riots breaking out in the middle of the street and people being attacked and nothing is done, that is absolutely uncalled for. We're still working to get Ricky back on so that he can hear me. But one of the interesting things, I know we can't pull it up for you right now, so I'll just tell you what we saw. On Twitter, we saw just people speaking out saying, what the heck is going on with the media? Why aren't they talking about this? Steve Scalise said last night, Donald Trump supporters were attacked and beaten by left-wing mobs on the streets of D.C. Where is the media outrage? I don't know. That's a really great question. Why are Democrat leaders condemning it? Exactly. I thought Joe Biden wanted us all to unify. I thought we were all supposed to come together. I thought we were all supposed to sing kumbaya and link hands and say, yes, we're all brothers and sisters now. Well, when political violence is happening in America and nobody cares about it because it's for conservatives and we don't like conservatives, that's a huge problem. Then later, Kelly Paul, this is Rand Paul's wife, she tweeted something very interesting in response to all of the violence as well. She said, watching video of people being assaulted and mobbed by the BLM and Antifa in DC tonight brings back awful memories. Want an example of media bias? When Rand Paul and I spoke out about our mob assault, the AP reported our claim was without evidence, despite 10 minutes of video. We all saw that video. All of America saw that video because it happened right after the president accepted his nomination during the Republican National Convention. Yet the Associated Press says, yeah, it's just not true. It didn't happen. It's not verifiable. It's not verifiable evidence. Listen, the evidence is everywhere. The media is simply not choosing to air it. I have dedicated my life to media. I've spent my entire adult life on TV, working for every major news network in the country. And I have never been more disappointed in our industry than I am right now, because they are just picking and choosing what they want to cover and what they don't want to cover. And it's insane and it's ridiculous and it needs to stop. All right, we are working on getting Ricky Rebel on. You know what we could do is we could take a quick commercial break if you want and try to work that out with Ricky so we can talk to him directly to make sure everything's okay. So a little out of the ordinary here at 11:11, we're going to take a quick commercial break so we can figure this out and get you guys that great interview that I know that you're waiting for. So stay with us through this break. Home, life, and business insurance. Don't pay too much for insurance. Be wise and get InsureWise. Call 702-620-4825. That's 702-620-4825. Looking to sell or buy a home? There's no one better than your Las Vegas neighborhood realtors, Melissa White Simmons and Tim Eaton of Urban Nest Realty. Melissa and Tim will meet your every need and go the extra mile to make sure you find the perfect house to call home. With Team Melissa White at Urban Nest Realty, you'll be taken care of every step of the way. Call Melissa and Tim today at 702-757-8605. That's 702-757-8605. License number 179020. Hi, this is Michelle Mortensen, and if you know me, you know I support our veterans. And that's why I want to tell you about my good friends at Therapy Blocks LLC, our newest sponsor of the show. Therapy Blocks LLC is veteran-owned and operated, and many of their therapists are veterans themselves or active National Guard members. Therapy Blocks LLC is a pediatric physical, occupational, and speech therapy rehab outpatient clinic that also offers home visits and telehealth services for special needs children up to age 18. Therapy Blocks LLC follows all CDC guidelines to ensure the health and wellness of their clients and their families. They're located in the Southern Hills Hospital Medical Building on Sunset Road. Give our friends at Therapy Blocks LLC a call today at 702-419-8120. That number again, 702-419-8120. And tell them you learn about Therapy Blocks LLC right here on the Michelle Mortensen Show. Wondering if now is the time to buy or sell a home, or is a market crash on the way? At Home, a real estate company, John Kennedy and his team will make sure you have all the information you need to make an informed decision. Home is where the heart is, and John Kennedy and his team are ready to lead you home. Give them a call today at 702-640-0101 or visit them at homerealestatecompany.com. Ladylikeclothing.com is a Las Vegas locally owned women's boutique created to cater to women who want to look their best without compromising comfort and quality. Ladylikeclothing.com focuses on contemporary, well-designed looks with classic feminine styling. Ladylike Clothing wants to help you build a wardrobe you'll love with beautiful, functional pieces that are never overdone and always ladylike. Shop online today at ladylikeclothing.com. I'm just a proud American. That right there is Ricky Rebel that you're listening to, and he is our special guest. I think we got all the audio issues out of the way, so let's bring Ricky on. Of course, he was speaking at the MAGA March this weekend in D.C., and is going to give us a first. He still can't hear me, he says. Oh my goodness. All right. Ricky, why don't you come on and I'll text you the questions. So Ricky, come on in if you can. I know there's some issue here, Ricky, about that with the audio, but why don't you just tell us what you experienced this weekend? Text him. Why don't you tell us what you experienced this weekend, please? Producers behind the scenes. We are just having a hot mess of a show today, y'all. And I do apologize for that. But Ricky's here, as you can see. What was your experience? Oh, his audio isn't on either. He's muted. Can he unmute his mic?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
All right, we'll take him off while we're getting him unmuted because his mic is now muted, so we can't hear him either. All right, let's talk a little bit about, can we hear him now? I can hear you though. Can you hear me?
Hi, I'm just gonna pretend that you know, wait. I'm trying to figure out this software here. It's really hard. Sorry about that. Sorry it's so weird. But I'm just going to say this right now because I can't hear you, Michelle, but I just wanted to thank you so much for playing my new song and for playing American Rebel for everybody. I really appreciate it. I went to the rally. I went to the march. Yes, it was amazing. The energy there was electric. Thousands upon thousands of patriots came out to support the president, to support the hashtag Stop Steal. And I showed up and the love there was just crazy. People were approaching me. They wanted me to sing the MAGA song for them. And I sang the MAGA YMCA song, which blew up on YouTube. You guys can check it out on my channel. It's called MAGA YMCA. And they wanted me to sing. So I sang for them. I signed autographs. I gave everybody a big fat hug because we are all in this fight together. As Americans, we deserve to have a recount vote, and we deserve that all legal votes be counted and all illegal votes be discarded. I personally did not see any violence, but I do know people who came to my meet and greet the next day. They told me that they were pushed and shoved, and there was violence that happened, and they witnessed the violence where that individual was shoved to the floor. And all kinds of craziness was happening in DC. I personally left DC. I went to Virginia because the amount of chaos was just too much. Am I concerned about the lack of media coverage? Absolutely, I'm concerned about the lack of media coverage because they just wanna show that a fake side of the conservative side. They wanna show us as the bad people. And whenever they do talk about the violence, they blame the Proud Boys, and the Proud Boys are literally there to protect the conservatives, to protect MAGA. I mean, that's really what happened. I mean, they didn't start anything. Antifa comes and they start the violence first, and then it just kind of escalates from there because the police aren't really doing their job either. So yeah, I'm gonna put this up here like this. And you guys can ask me more questions via text. Tell everyone after you finish this how to get
your music.
Okay. Here's the volume. So anyway, where you guys, I wanted to end this off by saying thank you for your support. And if you'd like to check me out and help me stay on tour, you can go to go to RickyRebelRocks.com and you can donate to the Ricky Rebel Tour campaign. I'd really appreciate it. I've been doing show after show. I just did a show with Brandon Strock at the Walkaway event. It was incredible. And you guys are keeping me on tour, and I really appreciate that. So go to RickyRebelRocks.com, and you can follow me at RickyRebelRocks on all social media platforms. Michelle, I love you so much for having me on the show. Even though it's muted, you're like a mime. I still feel the love from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ricky, as well. All right. We are also going to be later on talking to Courtney Holland, who was also a speaker at the MAGA March this weekend. So look forward to that in about 10 more minutes. You know, Ricky touched on a little bit that he is frustrated that there hasn't been much media coverage about this. And that brings me to another point that I wanted to bring up, is because we are seeing right now that there is just a true lack of free speech in America. Free speech is really being attacked right now. And it's being attacked on all levels. I want to let you know about, I don't know if you saw a tweet that Nikki Haley put out earlier this weekend, but Nikki Haley said she's tired of being censored when she's giving truthful commentary, and yet others aren't. She says, wow, when Iran's Ayatollah says the Holocaust didn't happen, Twitter doesn't say this claim is disputed. When I say ballot harvesting makes election fraud easier, Twitter says that's disputed. Wonder why conservatives don't trust big tech. And then she points out, she actually uses a picture of the tweet that she had silenced and the one from the Ayatollah that wasn't. This is a big problem, my friends, because what we're seeing day after day, day after day, is that Twitter is silencing anything that is a conservative voice, as is YouTube, as is Facebook. And this is one of the biggest forms of media today, because everybody and their brother gets their news from social media. Very few people watch regular TV anymore. So right now, when there's this types of silencing, we don't have free speech. Now here, this is why it's very, very scary, because when you are silencing free speech, when you are suppressing a free press, you become more and more like a communist country every day. Can I give you some examples? For example, in 2012, a Saudi journalist named Rafi Badouar liked a page on Facebook that was a Christian Arabic page, and he was sentenced in Saudi Arabia to 600 lashes and 7 years in jail. Eskinder Negya from Ethiopia was sentenced to 18 years in jail for writing a news article about another journalist who was a suspected terrorist who was detained. He wrote an article about actual facts, and he was sentenced to 18 years in jail. There's Qi Tao, a Chinese reporter who had an email that was leaked that had a government memo about the Tiananmen Square incident massacre anniversary and the way that the government was responding to it. Yahoo leaked the actual email, and he was also sentenced to jail. That's what happens in communist countries when you silence a free press and you silence free speech. Do you know what else happens? You start wanting to burn books. Think that doesn't happen today? Oh, get this, my friends. A Berkeley professor, an English professor from the University of California at Berkeley, has encouraged anyone to go buy a particular book. It's called Irreversible Damage by Abigail Schreier. She wants you to go buy it, and she wants you to burn it. She's literally advocating book burning because she doesn't like the topic of the book. I'm not going to talk about the topic of the book, whether it's good, bad, there or is. I'm indifferent to that. Should we be book burning? Get this. One of Biden's transition team advisors, Richard Stengel, he wants to ban burning the Quran in the United States because that's just not right with the First Amendment. That's not right with free speech. Yet it is perfectly okay to burn a Bible. So burning a Bible is free speech. And the Biden administration is saying that burning the Quran should be illegal. Got it. Do you know what else we're seeing? Let's visit the great state of Oregon. I'm not sure how long it's going to be a great state, because due to COVID concerns in the great state of Oregon, the governor there has decided that if you do not follow her edicts of staying home, if you do not follow her edicts, which says you can't have indoor or outdoor gatherings of more than six people for two separate households, if you don't comply, you could be placed behind bars for up to a month. That's right. You could go to jail for a month. You could also be fined $1,250. So what I'm telling you, my friends, is that in the great state of Oregon, the governor there says, if you don't obey my mandates and you have a party of more than six people on Thanksgiving, we're going to send the cops to your house. You could be arrested and thrown in jail, and you could be fined. That's very, very, very interesting. I find that very, very interesting. It's also very, very, very communist-like. Do you want to know why? Because Goebbels, who was Hitler's PR man, what did he do? Oh, well, he had all books that weren't positive towards Germany and the German way. He had those books burned. Huh. Interesting. He regulated all content of the media so that the only thing that was on the media were things that were government approved. Huh. Kind of interesting when you consider that Joe Biden's complete transition team includes former employees of Twitter and social media platforms like Facebook. Very, 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 very interesting. You also have people like AOC. Have you seen the AOC tweet? I know you have. Because I think we can't ever stop looking at this darn tweet. But she calls all Trump supporters sycophants, that we need to have a list of them to make sure that we get rid of them, that they're gone, that they're done for, that nobody hires them again, and that we never forget, that we never forget what those conservative Trump supporters did. You do understand that with every single breath they utter, the Democrats are proving that they want to erase all constitutional freedoms and they want government control 110% for what they believe is important. And what for what they believe is important and nothing else. It's like McCarthyism all over again. It's like communism coming to America. And everybody's just saying, well, it seems okay, because the media is not covering anything fairly. It is a very, very, very scary, safe place to be in. We're also seeing that the elitists say, hey, the rules don't apply to me. How do we know that? How do we know that? Let me tell you how we know that. Governor Gavin Newsom, California's answer to government and leadership, why I'll never know. You know, he put out those mandates that said, you know what, you can't have a party of more than six people for Thanksgiving. Shame, shame, shame on you if you don't do that. Yet this weekend, where does Governor Newsom find himself? He finds himself at a birthday party at one of the most well-known, expensive, fabulous restaurants in the world, French Laundry in Napa, with well more than six people. Oh, so what's good for the goose isn't good for the gander? I don't know. I don't understand what's going on here. Governor Newsom is showing point blank, hey, I make these mandates. You can't go to a restaurant. You can't have Thanksgiving. You can't go to Disneyland, but none of that applies to me. Oh, do you know who else acted like that? Maybe everyone who's ever come from the Soviet Union. That's exactly out of Gorbachev's playbook. That's exactly out of Yeltsin's playbook, who claimed that he was like, you know, oh, we don't have cronyism here. I've got democracy, democracy. We're moving to democracy. There was a coup. I'm in charge now. Guess what? Yeltsin did not have democracy. Just because he gave every Russian a 5x5 plot of land that they couldn't grow anything on didn't mean that everybody was landowners. And what did happen was all of Yeltsin's cronies got whatever the heck they wanted and became richer and richer, while the people of Russia became poorer and poorer. Let me ask you a question. Do you want us to be like the USSR? Is that what you're going for here, Democrats? Is that the ideal? Is that what you want? Because that's what we're going to get if we keep going down this path. And I am not a ridiculous, you know, conspiracy theorist, crazy person. I'm the most normal person you can get. I spent my entire life in TV news. I have two degrees. I am a well-educated person. And what I can tell you is this: losing free speech, losing a free press, losing freedom of religion, losing the freedom of assembly, and getting to a point where people say, you can't celebrate freaking Thanksgiving, we have gone a step too far. If you want to call into the show, I'd love to hear from you. Do we have someone on the line? Did I see that correctly? Was it Cyrus wanted to talk? I don't know. Cyrus is, I guess he got off the line and he said the recent policies encourage more income and inequality. That is true as well, because right now what we're seeing at the end of the day is we are seeing that children who are in more impoverished areas are not getting the education that they need because they don't even have what is required to do online learning. They don't have the ability to do it, and it's not going to work. And it's a problem. It is an absolute problem that no one seems to be addressing. Now, here in the great state of Nevada, our own governor, Governor Steve Sisolak, has also come down with COVID. The irony of it all was that last week on Tuesday, He got on TV to tell all of us that we're bad children, and that if we don't listen and obey, and we don't wear our masks, that we will have to have a shutdown. Then literally 4 days later, after he's seen dining at a restaurant, doing the exact thing that he told all of us not to do, he's diagnosed with COVID. Now, you may be wondering, well, how's Governor Sisolak doing? Well, thank God for Governor Sisolak's Twitter, because he told us today. This was probably about, almost an hour ago. He said, today I wanted to provide an update on my COVID-19 diagnosis. I continue to remain in good spirits with only mild head congestion. I appreciate the outgoing and ongoing support and well wishes. Now, listen to me now. Y'all know that I am no fan of Governor Sisolak. I have been one of his fiercest critics. That said, I'm not a jerk off. I do wish him well. I do want him to get better. But I also question that if he's saying, hey, all I have is mild congestion, is he going to come out after Thanksgiving once his two-week quarantine is done? Is he going to come out and then say more lockdowns, more shutdowns, when he himself realizes that not everyone has a bad experience? I have another friend who's battling COVID right now in Texas. She said her only symptom this entire time has been the lack of taste and a lack of smell. Why, my friends, are we shutting down the government? Why is Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, why is she shutting things down? Why is Virginia shutting things down? Why is state after state shutting things down? And why is the media just crying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling left and right, because we've now reached 11 million cumulative COVID cases. My friends, we don't have 11 million COVID cases going on right now that are active, and we've got 11 million people in the hospital. For some reason, there are certain people who, if they get COVID, they end up in a hospital. One of my friends, I know a lot of you know him, Brian Shapiro, who's a host of a competing radio program here in town, a more liberal guy, but a good person, to say the least. He has been diagnosed with COVID, and we want to wish him the greatest of recoveries. We want Brian to get better. We don't want anyone to die from this disease. Not at all. There's no telling why one person has a bad case and another person like Governor Sisolak doesn't. There is no rhyme or reason for it, but that doesn't mean that we stop living. If we stop living, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. And the thing that's really, really frightening, if you ask me, is this. When the governor of Oregon put out that edict that you could go to jail and you could be fined, there wasn't this, you know, pushback of like, oh my God, they've gone too far. No, we didn't hear any of that. What we heard was from a lot of people was round of applause. Thank God it's about time, because all these people won't stay home. What the fudge is wrong with Americans today? Why is it that you think it is totally okay for the government to tell you where you can go, who you can meet with, what you can say, what you can do, how you can dress? Why is that okay with anyone? If you think it's okay because you're scared you might die, let me tell you what's going to happen. Your freedoms are going to evaporate before your very eyes. Now, we do have a caller on the line. Who do we have with us? And we're going to have Courtney Holland after this caller who just joined on. Cyrus, what's your question or comment?
Well, just regarding my comment, I mean, it's amazing how the party, the Democrats, have been hijacked be the party of identity politics. And all of this identity politics helps the very few and wealthy special interests. And you have to understand that Biden and Kamala got millions from Wall Street. And I know that housing market is overvalued. And I think very likely they're going to use that opportunity if they get in. Once the financial system tumbles again, they're probably going to get more bailouts. And I think a lot of their supporters are going to be betrayed, but this is going to show that, you know, their whole tactics of attacking the rich is going to be very hypocritical.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. That's a great point, because I think you are going to see a great deal of bailouts. Biden has already admitted that when he takes that oath and he becomes the president at 12:01 on January 20th, 2021, he is going to roll back everything that President Trump did. He's going to roll back the abortion stuff. He's going to roll back the healthcare stuff. He's going to do everything he can to undo what President Trump did. And I believe he's going to try to bail out everybody and their brother. We all know there's not going to be a stimulus package anytime soon because Nancy and Chuck and the rest of them, they can't get their act together and they're going to have to count some electoral votes soon. And trust me, they're not going to do anything until the end of the year. But they're going to try to do stimulus that's going to bail out the airlines, that's going to bail out the hotels, that's going to bail out everybody and their brother. And it's going to hurt us a great deal. Now, due to the news of these vaccines that are coming out, the stock market is just kicking butt today. But Wall Street is going to be hurting again very, very soon if this Biden administration takes over and does exactly what they're threatening to do. It is a very, very, very scary time. And that, my friends, is why we saw so many people descend on Washington, D.C. this weekend just to fight for basic rights and freedoms. And we talked to Ricky Rebel a few minutes ago, who was also there and shared his experience. I want to welcome conservative political advocate Courtney Holland to the show now, who's also one of the featured speakers there. Courtney, thanks for joining us. I would love to hear what your experience was like.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle. I just got back home to Las Vegas last night, and wow, it was quite the weekend. I mean, one for the history books. It, quite honestly, it gave me chills seeing that many people gathered together within really less than a week notice to ascend on Washington, D.C. And the estimates is around about 250,000 people were there to show support for President Trump and to demand transparency in this election, because a lot of people have a lot of questions about what the heck is going on. And that was the point of all of us gathering this past weekend. It was pretty awesome.
That's awesome. I wonder, the crowds were amazing. I got to hear some of your speech that was posted, which was amazing. I am curious though, because I was following your Twitter and your Facebook posts. It seems like you and some of the people that you were with were right there in the heat of it when things became very, very violent.
Yes, I was actually, as you could see, a lot of the different videos of Antifa and BLM shooting fireworks and assaulting Trump supporters that were there. I was inside of the Willard Hotel as they were shooting fireworks at the hotel. Wow. I was inside. I hear, you know, loud popping noises. I'm not sure if it's gunshots, fireworks, or what it was, but come to find out it was fireworks. And we all had to hunker in and stay in for the evening. And all day long, we didn't see Antifa out. I saw maybe a couple counter protesters, but as soon as the cloak of night ascends, they come out. And that is why the plywood is up still in Washington, D.C., is for those folks, not for us.
Absolutely. And I think it was telling as well that other than some of the local stations like WJLA out in DC, WUSA, that's in Denver, but the local stations and Fox News, we didn't see a lot of coverage of the violence that was breaking out on mainstream media. I mean, normally when there's events like this, there's media everywhere. Did you even see a great deal of media there covering this event?
Not really. I mean, and it was pretty massive, and being in the crowds, you know, I was there for the excitement of it all. And I saw a few media organizations, but not a lot. They did not show a lot of coverage. I've seen reports that some mainstream media organizations have said that only a couple thousand people showed up, and it was anything but that.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that gets me right now more than anything as a former member of the media. And I guess I'm still doing media to this day. We aren't getting the full picture. And that lack of a full picture is really what is creating the divide right now, because the media is supposed to be the bearer of truth. They're the ones who are supposed to show you both sides of the story so that you can decide what's going on. And that has just evaporated. And that makes me very, very fearful for the future, because if we can't trust the press, who can we trust?
Right, exactly. And everyone feels that way. They are concerned. They're not portraying what is actually happening on the ground. I mean, I wonder if, you know, mainstream media organizations like CNN even showed the attacks on Trump supporters that evening. I mean, it was horrific. It was elderly men. It was women and their children, couples, people all over were getting attacked. It was horrific to absolutely see, and it wasn't being covered by the mainstream media. And this is why people are flocking to, you know, platforms on social media like Twitter and now Parler and others to try and get accurate information. But with that, now we're getting censored on these big tech platforms as well, so we're not even able to get out the real news of what's going on there. And so we are in an uphill battle in this country to try and get, you know, transparent news. We want a transparent election, and right now the media, the mainstream media, seems to be siding with the Democrats. They're the ones that are over here calling this election. They don't get to call this election. They are not the official sources to be able to call any state. So that's a big concern for a lot of people right now.
That is. It's interesting, just as a member of the media for so long, and I've been covering presidential elections now since the year 2000. It's very interesting to me. The media has always called the elections, and we've never questioned it once, really, at the end of the day. And now this time we have, and that's mainly because we've got a much different election this year than we have in years past. The mail-in election really did change things, because there was no way we were going to get returns in on time unless we functioned like the other states, like Washington and Oregon and Colorado, that have done this for several years, where your ballot had to be in by election day, not the next day, not the day after that, not 2 weeks later. We shouldn't be counting ballots on November 13th. Right. And that is why things change. So you have been working closely with the Nevada Republicans here about the election. And I know a lot of people have said, hey, we want some truth. We want some transparency. You guys say there's the fraud. What more can you show us so that we can really put this to bed and expose the problems? There has been a lack of actual evidence. And I have my reasons why I think that's happening. I think it's hard to prove, to be perfectly honest with you. What is going on with that aspect, if you have anything to share there?
Yeah, I mean, for months, we've been warning about how mail-in voting is a gateway to voter fraud. They assured us that the signature verification process that they were going to be putting in place here in Nevada would prevent all voter fraud from happening. And the Nevada Democrats passed this summer during the emergency session to implement mail-in voting within less than 90 days. Our state was not even prepared for that. The infrastructure was not put in place. And a lot of people ask why it took so long for Nevada to get all their ballots counted. I mean, that is definitely part of the reason. But going back to the signature verification process, I mean, just the other day in the Las Vegas Review-Journal, a columnist came out and said that he had reached out to 9 different friends of his and asked if he could sign their ballot with their name, but with his handwriting on their behalf, to see if it would go through. 8 out of 9 of those ballots passed through the system. So they're assuring us that signature verification process is going to 100% prevent us from voter fraud. And here we are seeing that that's not the case. You know, the Nevada GOP has been updating on their Twitter account of various different instances of voter fraud, you know, of dead voters voting, underage, people out of the state voting. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes with the Nevada GOP and the Trump campaign investigating this. And the media continues to ask us, what evidence do we have? And it's literally right there. And another thing for the media, they need to understand what the definition of evidence is. A sworn affidavit or a sworn testimony from an eyewitness of voter fraud is evidence. And so they continue to ask, they continue to question. They're asking us, but they're not going back to the Clark County Election Department and really digging in on some of these specific instances that the Nevada GOP and Trump campaign have been able to bring up. So that, again, makes a lot of people have a lot of distrust in the media.
Right. And on the flip side of that, just to be devil's advocate, if you will, it doesn't help us that Victor Jakes from the Review Journal admitted to committing voter fraud, essentially, by signing other people's names. You're literally then opening the door to say, see, this was a Republican thing, not a Democrat thing. So while I applaud the idea that he had, it really does hurt us in the end. And that's what makes voter fraud so hard to prove. You can find a dead person's ballot. You can find a ballot of someone who doesn't live here anymore, but you have no idea who committed that fraud. In Victor's case, he flat out admitted he was the one who did it, which, you know, is highly questionable. And I do want to stress that as much as this election has been just a nightmare, particularly in the state of Nevada, I don't think that Barbara Sagaski, our great Secretary of State, is the person to blame. We know that this was the Democrats' intention the entire time. The Democrats did this under the cover of night, and the Democrats are fully responsible for this and no one else. This is not a reflection on Barbara whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, and this goes to show local elections have consequences. I mean, this goes back to 2018 in the midterms when the Democrats took over the state legislature and, you know, the governor's mansion. And so this is what happened. And for Republicans everywhere going into 2022, I mean, this is beyond 2020. This is going on into 2022, 2024 and beyond. And we can't be complacent in our elections. And we need to make sure that voter fraud does not continue to happen. And also we need to make sure that we're supporting our local candidates. And I think not even just in Nevada, across the country, 2020 has shown us one thing, is that local elections absolutely matter. So support those candidates, recruit good people to run for office, help them with fundraising, help them with knocking on doors and getting their message out so that we can start flipping this state.
100%. And that will, my last question to you is, we know that that is going to be exponentially harder because right now the Democrats are in control of the governorship here. They're in control of the Senate here and they're in control of the Assembly. And this is the year that they are going to redistrict. And the Democrats have been creating maps to make sure that Republicans do not get elected in this state for the next 10 years. And if those maps pass, that means 22 is going to be of dire importance for candidates. So I know you are a huge advocate for getting Republicans elected. Just looking forward past 2020 right now and towards 2022, what, in your opinion, do we need to be doing to ensure that we get some Republican victories when they're stacking the deck against us?
Right. I mean, we need to be, I think, hats off to Harry Reid and what he's been doing in the last 20 plus years here in this state. I don't agree necessarily, obviously, with their politics, but they had a great infrastructure in place and an entire system and organization of identifying people who would be great candidates to run. And I think that's something that we need to do. We can't keep running the same old people, the same old names in this state. We need to change it up. This is a very unique state. I mean, I know a lot of Democrat friends of mine who are pro Second Amendment, and I know a lot of Republicans who are pro-choice. And so it's trying to find candidates that can appeal to both sides of the aisle here in this state, and really changing it up. And so really having a good infrastructure in place to identify these people, help support them, help educate them, help train them, and get them ready to run for office. And there's a lot of great people who ran in this past election. Absolutely a lot of great people who ran in this election. And I hope they don't go away. I hope they don't feel defeated. I hope we can still keep some of these folks that maybe they didn't win in the primary still in the game, because there's definitely a place for them in this state. So it's also retaining some of these folks as well from 2020 to continue to be a part of this and change the state in the future.
I agree. And I think that's one of the things we really have to work on. Yeah, from the candidate perspective, no one knows that better than myself. I ran in 18, I ran in 20. And there is a good old boy network in our party as well. And they want the same old people, and they get a little threatened by the new blood. They get a little threatened by the younger candidates. And we definitely need to change that attitude as well if we want to win in the years to come. Well, Courtney, I thank you so much for joining us here last minute. Great job this weekend at the MAGA March. I know we're going to be seeing a lot more of you. So thank you so much for giving us your perspective today. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Michelle. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day, Courtney. All right. Well, we're going to get ready to take a quick commercial break. We had Ricky Rebel on the show a little bit earlier. So throughout the show today, we're going to be featuring a lot of Ricky's great music. So we're going to get a chance to listen to another one of his songs as we get ready for commercial. And in the next block, there is still a lot more Michelle Mortensen show to come. We're going to be answering your questions. We're going to be taking your calls at 702-221-7283. And we're going to talk about Parler. Everybody's on Parler right now, even John Tesh. Who remembers that guy? All right, let's, are we ready to take that commercial? Okay, we'll be back in just a few. Hi, this is Michelle Mortensen. Susan. And if you know me, you know I support our veterans. And that's why I want to tell you about my good friends at Therapy Blocks LLC, our newest sponsor of the show. Therapy Blocks LLC is veteran-owned and operated, and many of their therapists are veterans themselves or active National Guard members. Therapy Blocks LLC is a pediatric physical, occupational, and speech therapy rehab outpatient clinic that also offers home visits and telehealth services for special needs children up to age 18. Therapy Blocks LLC follows all CDC guidelines to ensure the health and wellness of their clients and their families. They're located in the Southern Hills Hospital Medical Building on Sunset Road. Give our friends at Therapy Blocks LLC a call today at 702-419-8120. That number again, 702-419-8120. And tell them you learned about Therapy Blocks LLC right here on the Michelle Mortensen Show.
Looking for a professional, honest, and knowledgeable realtor who will tell you the truth about the Las Vegas market? Then you need John Kennedy and the team at Home, a real estate company. With 16 years buying, selling, and managing properties all over the Las Vegas Valley, there's no one better to serve you. Give John a call today at 702-640-0101 and let him lead you home.
How many times has this happened to you? You're driving with your laptop bag, your grocery bag, or your backpack in the seat next to you, and it's on the floor after you stop or hit a quick turn. Well, we experienced this issue too, and we created a solution. Introducing Bagmodo, easy to install, one-step process that fits seamlessly under any standard headrest and stores securely under the headrest. Bagmodo becomes a natural extension of your vehicle and helps stop your stuff from falling on the floor. Now you can secure your items systematically and effortlessly, keeping you from being a distracted driver, which, let's face it, is a huge problem these days. Bagmodo is the ultimate driver-centric product that doesn't distract drivers and helps keep everyone in the vehicle safe. For more information, go to bagmodo.com. That's bagmodo.com. Bagmodo, the easy-to-install, one-step process to stop your stuff.
Looking to sell or buy a home? There's no one better than your Las Vegas neighborhood realtors, Melissa White Simmons and Tim Eaton of Urban Nest Realty. Melissa and Tim will meet your every need and go the extra mile to make sure you find the perfect house to call home. With Team Melissa White at Urban Nest Realty, you'll be taken care of every step of the way. Call Melissa and Tim today at 702-757-8605. That's 702-757-8605.
Want to learn to scuba dive? Need swimming lessons for your kids? Then you need to check out Stone Sports in Las Vegas, right off Fort Apache and Tropicana. At Stone Sports, they teach the young and the young at heart. Whether you're looking for fun, fitness, or competition, Stone Sports is the place for you and your entire family. Give them a call today at 702-779-3021, 702-779-3021, or check them out online at stonesports.net. Stone Sports, where water safety and water fun meet.
All right, everyone, welcome back. We are listening to Ricky Rebel, Cold Hearted Snake. He was our guest at the top of the show. Be sure to check out his music. And thanks for sticking with us during the commercial breaks there. Commercials are how we pay for the show. So we appreciate you watching those and go and support those local amazing businesses here in the great state of Nevada. All right, let's talk a little bit about this election as well. I noticed on the comments on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, many people are asking, well, what kind of voter fraud evidence does the media really need to get its hands on? So as a member of the media, I can only tell you what I would, what was demanded of us in TV news for all the networks that I worked for, from CBS to NBC to CNN to Good Morning America, et cetera, et cetera. You want hardcore proof. So that's got to be more than just, here a dead person died. They're really dead. We put out their ballot. That's proving that a dead person died. We don't know who's behind it, but we're going to invalidate that vote. That is one of the pieces of proof that that news organizations definitely want to see. They also want to know, well, then who's behind it? Here's where the hypocrisy steps in. For the last 4 years, the media has been saying Russia, 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 like it's a Brady Bunch episode and Jan's mad at Marsha, that Russia interfered with our election, that there was Russia collusion, and that people on Facebook, these Russian bots, they forced us to have a Donald Trump presidency instead of a Hillary Clinton presidency. That has literally been the narrative narrative from the mainstream media for the past 4 years here. And yet they did it without any proof whatsoever, because they've been unable to find how a freaking Russian bot on Facebook forced anyone to go vote illegally. Yeah, it didn't happen. So the media is a little bit biased in what it wants as proof. We've gone over this on the show numerous times. They want evidence and proof. They want something tangible that they can say this person did that when it involves conservatives. When it involves liberals, they don't ask for much proof at all. I remind you of the Atlantic article that said Donald Trump said all these horrible things about our veterans. The very people who were there said, yeah, that didn't happen. And yet everybody still believed it was true. This is the problem when we don't have a free and fair press. And that is the big problem. We need a free and fair press. That's what this is all about. If we don't trust the media, our future is in great, great, great danger. We've got about 4 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in and take part, 702-221-7283 is the number to call. Now, we've been talking a lot about social media as well today and a lot of the censorship that has happened there. Well, get this. Zuckerberg, he's going to be grilled by Congress again tomorrow. I don't imagine this is going to result in a whole heck of a lot, because they grill him. Nothing ever changes, but keep your eyes out for that. And the other big news is everybody and their brother is jumping onto Parler, Mayway, MeWe, Gab, all these other things. Parler seems to be the big one, though. Are you on Parler? If you are, drop your handle down there so we can all follow you. The big news this weekend, though, was that John Tesh decided to join Parler. And everyone said, who the heck is John Tesh? It was a good point. I'm not going to lie. He might have a blue check mark, but I don't think anyone's watched John Tesh on Entertainment Tonight since probably, I don't know, 1992. Didn't he become like, I don't know, he was a piano player and he did something with like Zamfir, the flute guy. I don't know who John Tesh is. I don't think many people under the age of 40 know who John Tesh is, but he's on Parler too if you want to join him. Here's the thing about Parler. I'm glad that we have places where free speech can happen, but we don't want to become so isolated that we only hear what we believe. That's why I'm not the biggest fan of saying I'm only going to listen to Newsmax, or I'm only going to listen to OAN. I'm only going to listen to one type of media, because when you do that, then you never know what the left is saying. You never know what the other guys are saying. We always want to know what the other guys are saying. That's how we fight back. Looks like we got a caller on the line. Who is joining us now, Justin? Hello, caller?
Hello.
Hi. Is this Kevin?
Yes, it is, Michelle. How are you? Thank you for having me on your show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Kevin. What do you want to talk about here in the last few minutes of the show?
Well, the biggest thing you're talking about journalism, it's gone to more activism. What it's been doing is because it's no more journalism, because it's biased, as you see. And again, we need to activate more of our citizens, our Clark County citizens. And I just called it again. Thank you for having your show and a voice that you're giving to many. But if people really want to get involved, we need to get people involved in our Clark County Republican committee here in town. And there's going to be a meeting tomorrow night, if your callers can come in and want to join us. It'll be at the First Baptist Church in Las Vegas. It's 44400 West Oakey Boulevard. Doors open at 7 a.m. Get there early. Don't get there at 7. Just get there like it's 6 o'clock. We need people. If you really want to turn this state around and you care about, you know, conservative views, not, you know, far left, far right, in the middle, people matter. And this is the problem. Is, as you know, I used to run the school district. I used to be one of the school board trustees, and I was one of the one conservative on that board. So we need people, and then you can't stop. The election doesn't stop now. It continues to grow. And like I said, is that we've made measures, good measures in the state of Nevada by registering a lot more Republicans now than the Democrats did in the last cycle. So we're moving in the right direction, Michelle.
Right. And that meeting is at 6 p.m. tomorrow night?
Go be there at 6 o'clock, and it's 4400 West Oakey Boulevard, and it's at the First Baptist Church of Las Vegas. So come out, meet new people, talk about certain things, get involved. This is how we change Nevada, you know, one vote at a time.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Kevin, for joining us. We just got a few minutes left here on the show. And you know, one of the places you can turn for a free and fair press, and Spencer's going to kill me, but that Andy Ngo video, let's show that real quick. Andy on Twitter, we're going to show this video if we can. If we can't, I'll get it to you later. He was actually sharing some of the video from the violence that happened over the weekend. Look at this. This is a family with little children. Look at this. These are little kids with their dad, being surrounded by members of Antifa, people trying to attack them. They're scared. They are scared. This is what's happening, and no one bothered to report it. So follow Andy, follow others on Twitter, follow this show, spread the love, and subscribe to MichelleMorrison.com. If you don't subscribe, we don't stay on the air. It's through commercials and your subscription that we stay on the radio, that we stay on these video platforms, and we want to keep reporting the truth. All right, we're going to end with some American Rebel by Ricky Rebel. Be sure to check out his music as well. Couldn't do this show without Spencer, couldn't do this show without Lauren and Justin, and the whole team behind the scenes who makes this show happen. Join us on Friday when we're going to be talking about the vaccine with Dr. Salvatore Giordani. Should we get it? Shouldn't we? That's coming up Friday. See you soon. You can't control my thoughts.